Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
It's going to be a marvelous day today because we're one day closer to all being over. On Kauai and Oahu, we're going to have scattered showers in the morning, isolated in the afternoon, less or possibly more, depending on where you live. You know the situation on Oahu and Maui, isolated showers, scattered showers in the afternoon, high about 86, and that probably would be closer to the leeward side of each island with 81 maybe, and a little bit cooler up Oahu. Variable winds, they're with us, so it's going to be muggy to 15 miles per hour. Got a great show for you today. Gary Williams, analyst and host of Golf Central and Morning Drive. He's Golf Channel. And Elisa Godet, president and founder, Women's Golf Day. We've got an update for you. Seth Pepper, mental performance coach. You know, how do you get feeling better about what is being bombarded at you every day and all the worries of the world that we're feeling right now? What is his recommendation? Jan Bell Jan has something for the kids. The American Society of Golf Course Architects has a competition of sorts. It's not really a competition so much as a challenge for kids. And Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief, Golf Kitchen, is taking us into the chef's world. And we're going to go to Liberty National and just have a really good time talking about food, because that's what we all need, some excellent cuisine. We're going to come back with Gary Williams right after this, thanking the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
All right. The next PGA Tour event probably, well, it's scheduled to be played on May 21st, based on the current schedule, with cancellations because of coronavirus. The Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club would be the first tournament back. The LPGA has come out with a schedule that would also start things up in June, the latter half of June. There's the USGA coming out with, all right, the women are going to play the U.S. Women's Open in December, but they're still selling tickets for the June U.S. Open at Winged Foot. And we don't know about the Ryder Cup nor the Open, which is scheduled, of course, the Open in July. All of these things still percolating, and there was so much talk about what could be happening. We want to go straight to Gary Williams, host of Morning Drive and Golf Channel. Welcome into the clubhouse, Gary.
Danielle, it's great to chat with you as always. You know, you and I usually we end the year with a nice, great exhale. Celebrating and reminiscing and reflecting on the year that was in golf. And now we sit here at the beginning of April, and you and I and everybody else, we're collectively holding our breath, which is it's unnerving, to say the least. So I hope you're doing well.
Oh, yeah. You know, all things considered, I have my health. My family has, you know, everybody's dealing. Everybody's dealing as best as possible. Everybody is a little, you know, different, a little, all the quirks. You know, some kids are regressing. They're having a hard time because it's scary. It's all scary. Mm-hmm. It's scary for us. We're a little bit better at coping as adults, although none of us have been through anything like this. Let's go back to 1918 and ask the people what they did. There's just so much going on in the world. And I know a golf schedule sometimes seems, you know, like, what, you know, we've got so many other things to talk about. Why are you talking about a golf schedule? Well, because it gives us something to look forward to. Something, this too shall end, and we will be moving on to something. At least that certainly is the fervent hope. And I'm just curious, what are your thoughts about what's coming up with the majors? Will they be played this year? Will they postpone the majors? It seems like their focus is on the majors, the Ryder Cup, and the schedule later.
Yeah, no, I think that that's, your perception of things is very, very good. I think it's pretty accurate. But until they give us this revised schedule, which my understanding is that they were probably ready to deliver that news the latter part of this week that we've just kind of finished, although many of us don't even know what day it is anymore because it really doesn't have the kind of distinction to each day the way that it used to be in our former schedules and routines. But, you know, I think that what, whether it be the RNA, the USGA, the PGA of America, the PGA Tour, European Tour, and Augusta National Golf Club, they are in constant communication every day, all day long, and they're trying to take a jigsaw puzzle that their pieces keep changing the way that they look, I think, every day. And to some degree, they're trying to, you know, put this puzzle together with one eye closed and one eye on the world. And it's just, it's very, very complicated. And it requires everyone to be nimble and everyone to be, you know, not too overreactive. So I think, yes, I think it's possible that three majors are likely to get played if there is, you know, safety and normalcy, and they can be conducted. And then everything else will just kind of fall into place to whatever degree that they fall into place. PGA Tour, European Tour, Korn Ferry Tour, and of course the LPGA. Mike Wan has done, a really, really admirable job being proactive and not appearing to be overreactive in any way. So, yeah, I think it's possible that competitive golf can be played, and it's going to be built around the Masters Tournament, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and maybe the Open Championship.
Why the big maybe on the Open?
Because I think that if you consider what a hot spot, tinderbox, the whole thing in the UK is such a challenging thing right now, not to mention all of continental Europe, where you consider the plight in the horrifying circumstances in Spain, in Italy, the density and the approximation of those places to one another make it seem really, really difficult to think that they could convene there, whether it be in the middle of July, which I don't think would be the case. I think they would try to push it at best to the middle of September. Then we're talking about a finite number of hours because of their proximity, latitude-wise in the world. You don't have enough hours in the day. You're gonna condense the field from 156 players to 120 to 100. And at what point are you getting to where the diminishing returns of just trying to get 100 players in the most global of events to that place on the back end of what has been just abject, horrifying detail of deaths and fatalities? I don't know how plausible it's going to be.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more, and yet the European side, I think, will be coming out on the backside of this. Well, we'll be in the midst of it. I mean, what we're looking at in New York City is just the beginning of what's going to be happening and is already showing in Los Angeles. So it is moving, you know, went China to Europe and now to the East Coast, and it's slowly making its way. I'm amazed how much golf is being played in Arizona, competitive golf.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already got over 1,000 cases in one of the, you know, most populated areas near Phoenix. You know, it's just, wow, you guys are still playing? And they finally said, okay, no playing here on Oahu, no playing in Hawaii. Hawaii. You're not going to play golf. We want you to be as far away from one another as possible. You can go out and walk, but they're not going to let us on the golf course. That was just decided on Monday of this past week, and we were all looking forward to going out and just getting some exercise, just getting it out. So Gary Williams, Golf Channel, Golf Central, and Morning Drive, why do we bother with this? Why don't we just say, hey, this, you know, let's just quit this whole year. Let's just focus on getting healthy, everybody staying healthy, and start up when the year comes to a close.
I think that, you know, they probably have thought long and hard about that. And I think that all of them collectively need to have that firmly in their minds as a reasonable resolution that may come to pass. But like any business, whether you be a restaurant owner or running a Fortune 100 company, whenever it is that the all clear is sounded to the degree that you yourself as a business owner with stakeholders and shareholders say, you know what, it's no longer shelter in place, work at home, we're going to have, you know, reasonable space to be able to do our jobs, that when that time comes, let's say it's after Labor Day in the United States for some people, you know, the PGA Tour is a business, and it's a multi-billion dollar business. And to have contingency plans for when the resumption of your business can be undertaken, I don't see any problem with putting that plan in place, knowing full well that you may have to, you know, resolve to the position that we can't conduct business until 2021. And if that happens, that happens. But I don't find it to be irresponsible, and I don't find it to be out of touch to say to your constituents, here is the contingency plan, but please know full well that we have to be flexible because things change literally day to day, week to week. And we've already seen that once. We're likely to see it again. I find it highly unlikely that professional golf is going to be played in Fort Worth, Texas, starting on May 21st.
Yeah.
If it's the middle of June, if it's the middle of July, if that does happen, I don't see the reason to say we're done for the year right now. But here's, if things work out, here's what we're looking like. And I will say this, Danielle, I find it highly unlikely that you know, any of the build-outs that would be done at these various tournaments will be done. It'll be essential personnel. These will be, virtual quarantined events. And golf, by and large, visually, for you, you watch a ton of golf on television, it's not going to violate your sensibilities in any way. It's an ISO on a woman or a man hitting a golf shot, ball in the air, ball lands on the green. Modest applause, no applause, with the exception of a handful of holes, particularly on a Saturday or a Sunday. It's not going to really look, feel, or sound that much different.
Yeah.
And that's trivial, but I do think golf can re-engage in a way that will not look or sound that much different, whereas college football, an empty stadium in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that's a different experience for people watching it on television. And we'll see what happens with global sports because it is a diversion, but they are big businesses, and shutting them down takes jobs away from countless people.
And that's the fact of life. That's what's so difficult. That
yep.
is, and then recovering, starting it back up, you know, at least we'd have that to look forward to and to work on. With the LPGA Tour, I like how they said provisional. They didn't say, this is absolutely what we're going to do. This is provisional.
Yeah.
Everything is, you know, five more tournaments postponed, four of them rescheduled. The next LPGA event is the Walmart in Arkansas, that championship presented by PNG. I even think June 19th to the 21st is early.
I agree.
And that's why...
No, I agree with you, Danielle. I you know, myself, and again, I'm trying not to consume as much of the news every day because I think that there's kind of a general and gradual erosion of just kind of our own well-being. I want to be vigilant. I want to be aware. I want to be knowledgeable about the things that I should be doing for myself and my family. And we're doing that, but and with that being said, I feel like my intuition tells me it just seems unlikely. Even though I think these events will be modest build-outs, you're talking still logistically about getting people there, the safety and security of these players, their caddies, you know, families. You're taking maybe a mother or a father away from a family at a time when they still may be very, very emotionally, you know, kind of in a position where, hey, look, you know what, let's not leave the bubble. We're all kind of in our own little bubbles right now. So I'm with you. My intuition tells me we're looking at July, wherever it may be, and it's going to be virtual quarantined events.
Yeah, I think that would be prudent too for it to not reoccur as is possible.
Yes.
I think the idea of playing a lot of opposite field events is a good idea, because the golfers that we're talking about who don't get to play are also losing jobs. So when we're talking about these tournaments, it's not just what we don't get to see, it's what they don't get to earn. And that must be terribly frustrating.
Well, I think it is. And again, I you know, for everybody who is in a position right now, whatever their job might be, most Americans, most people who work in whatever economy, in whatever society that they reside in, has to feel some sense of being furloughed to whatever degree. And then there's vulnerability, starting with your own personal well-being. This is something you can't see, you can't feel it. You hope that you're not, that you don't have it in your system. A lot of people can be asymptomatic, but back to your point about jobs, you know, we focus, like you do, I think, on a weekly basis, although you have a really good view of golf and you look at it from a recreational standpoint, you look at it in terms of really the spiritual benefits, not to mention the physical benefits of playing the game, the fellowship that the game gives us. But we do play the hits. We talk about the stars. They're fortified economically. But, you know, for instance, Brett Stegmaier, a name a lot of people not that familiar with, he finished 75th last year on the Korn Ferry Tour money list, and that number is a threshold for some level of status for him to be able to get starts on the Korn Ferry Tour the following year. He made $83,000. You subtract his travel, his expenses, all that. You know, that's you know, he's living a living that is respectable, but it's a modest living. It's a modest living that doesn't provide a tremendous amount of cushion one way or the other, no matter how frugal he or anybody else living at that threshold might be, who has to travel and pay to travel and is an independent contractor. Those players who are losing these starts, who we love golf because it is a meritocracy. I'm paid on performance. I receive the hardware. If I'm better than everybody else, I don't rely on others. It's me alone on the island. It's we're pulled in by that pursuit, that singular pursuit. But in the absence of that, my gosh, what do you do?
Yeah.
You can't do anything. And then extrapolate that to their caddies' families. And it's not like, well, just go get another job. There are no jobs to get right now. So that's why, listen, we all are thinking, first and foremost, that the disclaimer in bold type, be held, be safe, be well. Then beyond that, we get to the other things, and that's why, you know, that's why I think, like the World Golf Rankings, Danielle, I would freeze these members of all these tours in place into next year. Don't worry about how many starts. Don't worry about having to go to the Korn Ferry Finals. And for the Korn Ferry guys, I know it's a tough break. You're not going to graduate to the PGA Tour. The guys who came before you, who are rookies this year, they're going to get a full swing at the plate next season. Hold them in place like we're all in America, in the world, essentially being held in place, and let them pursue their dream in full in the next season, no matter how many starts they get for the balance of this calendar year.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you completely. One thing that does confuse me, Gary, and that is, why could they make a decision about the U.S. Women's Open, but holding the U.S. Open in June seems to be, you know, still on the table?
I think, Danielle, and again, the U.S. Women's Open is a massive event, and I think their decision playing at the Champions at the Woodlands in Texas and Houston to take it to the two courses, which they're going to do because of roughly 4 to 4.5 hours less of daylight to get that size of a field around one golf course in one day is it's implausible. You can't do it. So anyway, but back to your question, why? I think that they really would like to have the event at Wingfoot. They're not going to have it there June 18th to the 21st. That's a virtual impossibility. I think what they want to do is when they give the announcement of it not being on that date, they want to give you definitively, but I will say, definitively, however, with flexibility, what was the word that the LPGA is using?
Provisional.
Provisional.
Yes.
Provisional.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our provisional date.
Yes.
If it's Wingfoot in September, fine. If it's the West Coast in December, fine. I think what they want to do is that when they tell you they're not going to do it on the 18th or the 21st, they want to have, not this is not in stone, but their provisional date also laid out. Are they going to try to stay with Wingfoot in September, hypothetically, or do you just go ahead, pull the chute on Westchester County and go to the West Coast in December, or maybe go to the Sand Hills of North Carolina? And I will add this one caveat, and I this is just, you know, this may seem like a wild card, but that's what the times are. The times are wild. They're extraordinary. There's something we've never seen. Sand Hills in Nebraska, I think, would be the greatest one-off major championship experience the world could ever see and the players could ever experience, whether it be the PGA of America or the USGA saying, we'll go to Southwest Nebraska to a town with 70 residents that has one of the top 10 golf courses arguably in the world that nobody has ever seen, that for miles and miles there is no civilization. Build temporary housing. You don't need much of a build-out. You just need camera wells. You need a barracks for the players to be able to reside in. You test them going in. You test them going out. And you'd have about 75 to 100 million people globally watching the event. And again, I know that's a little bit out there, but you know what? I think that the creative out-of-the-box thinking is something that we all need to be trying to utilizing right now.
Yeah, we're all a little bit out there right now. So, you know, that's all there is to it. The Ryder Cup. Now, the Ryder Cup comes after the majors, I think, in the mindset of those planning. So the Ryder Cup set for September. How do we determine the team since there are no tournaments for the players to earn their positions? I mean, there's so many questions. I it really does boggle the mind. Just trying to take care of ourselves is one thing. It's a massive undertaking to make sure that you've got everything in place, including your toilet paper. But then for these guys to then have to sit down and try to figure out, what are we going to do with all these people, all these commitments, all these stakeholders, as you said, all these people who are mm-hmm. earning their living based on this big business, many big businesses coming together to make a bigger business. Then there's the broadcast schedule with the NFL coming back on and goodness knows what other sports wanting to play some part of their season. It's we're going to have a lot to watch at some point. I'm imagining it's going to be quite we just have to look forward to it. And I really want to thank you,
Danielle,
for being on the show.
I will say this. Yes. We might, as you said, and that's the operative word, we might have a lot to watch. We might have nothing to watch, because I wouldn't be too presumptuous, and I'm a huge NFL fan and an enormous college football fan, and the notion that, again, that 95,000 people are going to be walking into Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or into the Horseshoe in Columbus, Ohio, Labor Day weekend, to watch their beloved Buckeyes play a physical sport where physical contact is not implied, it's required, is hard for my mind to be flexible enough to say, yeah, I can resolve to believe that. I think that we may find that golf is trying to find a lane amidst a clogged drain of Major League Baseball and football getting ramped up, or maybe delayed. I don't know. But let me just say this about the Ryder Cup. My initial thought was, with less events, you give more flexibility and latitude to the picking of the teams, to the captains themselves. If it was 9 that were automatically qualifying, make it 6 and give him more autonomy, Steve Stricker and Patrick Harrington, to fill out the roster. I will say this, again, on the shores of Lake Michigan, even though it's a kind of an isolated area, you're still putting 40 to 50,000 people on a property in late September to watch four matches. So you're going to have roughly 10,000 people watching a four ball on a Friday afternoon in September. If that can't happen safely, I would postpone the event to next year, because the Ryder Cup is the one event in golf where the crowd is essential to separating it for what it is. The home field advantage, as trivial as it might sound, would be lost, but the whole nature of the event there would be a palm over it. I don't need a processional of four guys playing a match where they can't even touch each other or high five or fist bump. I just push it 1 year. If it can't be what it is, then it's not what it is.
Yeah, because the crowd is a part of the team, whichever place we're playing. If it's on the European soil,
which makes it great.
Yes. Gary Williams, host of Morning Drive and Golf Central. It's great to see you on Golf Central. I really enjoy you there. Golf Channel, thank you so much. I miss you. I miss you on television. Thank you for being on Twitter, watching your Golf Central updates when they come out. And I'll be watching to see what decisions are made provisionally over the next few weeks. Thank you, Gary.
Provisionally, you and I will talk again soon enough.
Oh, yes. I would love to be able to talk with you again in the next couple of months. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We've got some changes, and provisionally, we're going to have a women's golf day physically, but virtually, we're definitely going to have one. Alisa Godet is next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
COVID-19 ready. That's what everybody needs to be, right? COVID-19 ready. Well, that's what Oahu Extraction is. And they're here to help you with your flooding or mitigation needs. So we've got rain in the forecast. When it floods, water or worse, just call Oahu Extraction. Rain in the forecast. Maybe the water doesn't flood in. Hey, maybe it's trickled in. It's come from upstairs, somebody else's unit, and you're starting to feel the sense of something's wrong in the bathroom. Oahu Extraction is COVID-19 ready. With their hydrometer, they can see what's growing in the walls. Call Oahu Extraction, 330-6212.
In response to the mayor's COVID-19 stay-at-home order that now includes golf courses, Bayview Golf Course is taking this time to make Bayview Golf Course even better. We're aerating the course, cleansing our new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready for your return to the beauty and splendor of Bayview Golf Course, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. You'll come back with Bayview Golf Course in even better condition. Until then, the best of health to you, your family, and friends. Bayview Golf Course. We're all in this together.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Alisa Godet is founder and organizer of Women's Golf Day, womensgolfday.com. And we would be celebrating the fifth Women's Golf Day this coming June 2nd, the traditional way. But coronavirus is changing the world we live in. We've been talking about that. There will be two Women's Golf Days this year, a virtual Women's Golf Day and an in-person traditional Women's Golf Day. The virtual will be June 2nd. We can say that for certain. Welcome into the clubhouse, Lisa.
Good morning, Danielle.
Yes. So we've got June 2nd for sure. That's our virtual Women's Golf Day. And provisionally, you've moved the getting together all the ladies who've never played, who'd like to play, who'd like to meet women who play so they can get together and have fun September 1st.
Yeah. The events that happen around the world on the one day, usually, that has been moved, as I heard you talking with Gary, I mean, provisionally to September 1st, if we're able. I mean, and as I listen, I mean, obviously everybody isn't going to wait until they know it's absolutely certain that, you know, we can get together in groups or what have you. The one thing that I do think we're a little bit fortunate in is that ours are community-based events. You're not flying people in or you know, big crowds or anything like that. So I think once the green light goes, and I'm sure people will be rearing to go to spend time with friends and family and stuff, hopefully we'll be able to do it. But in the interim, we did keep the June 2nd date as digital, and it'll be a digital celebration. And I think we're going to have 24 hours of pretty interesting content for everybody and ways for everybody to engage.
Sort of an inspirational, motivational, uplifting, we're all in this together, that moments of sharing, escaping, it just even for a few minutes together, like it.
Yeah, well, you can have 24 hours of it.
Yes.
And it'll end in Hawaii, like it does every year, so we're definitely going to have to plan a big bang for there. But, it's been really interesting, too, because the it's supportive, you know. I mean, it turns out we haven't really ever utilized beyond our event. You know, when you think about it, we've got a web platform that has 900 locations in 52 countries, like, you know, right there waiting with. So one thing I definitely encourage any location to still sign up. We are offering it because of everything that's going on for free, and that's WGD Unite, that they can go on and they'll get the registration for free. They can do the digital one. And a lot of them didn't realize a lot of these courses. If you have anything that's going on right now, your pro is doing free classes, you can upload that, because all of those location profiles have the ability to upload photos or videos. So we're, you know, like everybody else, we're turning on a dime and trying to activate and help and do whatever we can to keep people interested and safe, but also, you know, give them some type of, reprise from everything that's going on. So this is a good way for a club to get out, and we are sending everybody that's involved, you know, information on a regular basis so they can activate and, just try to do some fun things, some things that can help people alleviate the time they have in their hands or what have you. So, and there's so many resources out there, which I think it's wonderful. I like the, you know, everybody that has stepped up. It's unbelievable.
And it is.
You know, in the golf community.
I was looking at, you know, when you watch, you go to Annika Sorenstam's Twitter or Instagram platforms. I mean, she's out. She's always making big statements on social media about taking this part of our life in stride without leaving our inner happiness behind. You know, it's, yes, we're all in this together, and it is difficult. It is more than difficult for many people. It's devastating. Their lives have been taken away. And yet, you know, she'll show us moments with the kids, you know, or moments just in her life that's that are happy and peaceful and serene. And that's a place that a lot of people need to find in themselves. Michelle Wee would be fun to have participating. She may be very much a mom by June 2nd. I don't know when her, I was thinking of Lisa Longball, who's bringing her son into her social media undertakings, right, to inspire everybody.
Yeah. Haley Ledbetter and the Ledbetter Academy, they've already got stuff out for parents to help kids if you go. I mean, so there's, a lot of resources, and we are definitely, all those people that you're mentioning, you know, have been very out there supporters of Women's Golf Day. Some of them are, like, you know, partners with tentacles, you know, that go deeper. And, yeah, we're looking to do that. So we're going to have as much content, giveaways, just fun things, just try to make it as celebratory as we can, and everybody's home. You know, and I think also we're really looking at ways even before then, and you'll start seeing, the best thing is if people follow the hashtag WGD Unite, of fun ways that even our ambassadors, you know, I'm on the phone all day with people from Italy, from Spain, and it's very sobering. So to hear, you know, firsthand from people that you know and that their cousin or their brother, you know, it's not, oh, that thing over there anymore. It becomes even more impactful. So I think that some of that's interesting, though, and to be able to hear. So we're going to, you know, leading up to June 2nd, too, try to get some of these people on the line, whether it's Javier from Valderrama and Spain and the Federation or, you know, some of these other. We have wonderful connections and wonderful people around the world, and I think that they can, you know, just check in. It'd be great to hear from some of these people and how everybody's handling this.
Yes, and WGD Unite. So that stands Women's Golf Day, WGDUnite.com. That's where we go.
Yeah. No. WGD Unite's the hashtag if you look it up on social media.
Okay.
On our website, our regular website, like everything, we have information right there. We have put our press releases, all this, you know, the free code is in there. The information is in French, Spanish, and English. I mean, I really, like, take my hat off to my team. We've got a number of people, and I think, you know, because we're maybe smaller, but, you know, our people have been working really hard because we've, you know, come up with this and been able to turn this around and get everything updated, and it'll still keep coming out. But, yeah, that's it. The Women's Golf Day website, and just look under where it says learn more. There's a WGD Unite, or check that hashtag on our social media pages. And there's there'll be lots of fun stuff of ways to engage, I think for sure on the second.
Well, let's get Karen Palacios Jensen,
big party,
and Bailey Mosher, Chambly, yes, and Lauren Thompson from Golf Channel, and Mike Wan, the LPGA commissioner, maybe Seth Pepper, the mental performance coach. All these people need to get involved, and we'll have fun on June 2nd, 2020. That's coming up June 2nd, the virtual Women's Golf Day. And all you do is go to womensgolfday.com to find out more. And then Women's Golf Day provisionally scheduled for September 1st, 2020. And, you know, what we were watching in Italy and Spain unfolding in other parts is, you know, on our in New York. Aren't you in New York?
Yeah. No, I'm in Florida.
Okay.
West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's arriving in Florida because the New Yorkers are fleeing New York to go to Florida. You know, it's not really something anyone can escape from. Here in Hawaii, we have a case on Molokai, you know, and it's all about travel. And so we really do need to stop moving and just stay put so that if you are... you know, if you do have coronavirus, you can then be in one place and take care of it within that one place. It's every time we have a case, it's like, okay, the person just got back from, or the person just was in contact with somebody who just got back from. No harm in going places, but not right now. Now we just have to stay put. And that's why I'm so glad that you created the Virtual Women's Golf Day, a digital celebration, June 2nd, 2020. Of course, this year, womensgolfday.com is the place to go. The hashtag is WGD Unites. Thank you so much for being on the show, Alisa.
Thank you, Danielle. And I do, if anybody I do has suggestions or wants to get involved, I absolutely encourage them to get in touch with me or, you know, or through the website or whatever. And we'd love to figure out a way.
Yeah.
We're going to try to help people however we can in our small way, but we will. And thank you for doing the show.
Oh, for sure.
Getting everybody together and getting the information out there because it's crucial right now for everybody.
Well, as your Hawaii ambassador, it's kind of, you know, really important to me. So,
yes,
that it's not something I don't toot my horn off all that often, but yes, it's a fun. I know that at Ka'anapali they put 80-90 women together and just have a blast on Women's Golf Day. So knowing that we'll be able to do something on June 2nd and look forward to doing something.
Oh.
Provisionally,
yeah, we're going to encourage everybody to wear red and white. You know, they can get there. You know, this is interesting because now you can have a cocktail, I guess, while you're watching women's golf day online.
Yes. You don't have to stay totally sober so that you can play around.
Yeah.
Alisa, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Stay safe.
You too. Alisa Godet is Women's Golf Day. She's the founder and organizer. She's also president of the Executive Golf International. Okay, now we're going to go out and check in with Seth Pepper. But first, we need to take care of the people who make this show possible, including Aloha Power Equipment. They have what you need at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores. Get the Honda EU 2200 generator for $999. Then you get an extended warranty for $50. Do you know what a bargain this is? $50 for the warranty on your EU 2200, a Honda EU 2200 generator. So that's a great deal. Okay, the best deal on the Honda EU 2200. And everything you need to weed it, whack it, mow it, and blow it, it is at Aloha Power Equipment, and your Honda generator is there waiting for you to pick it up. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu stores.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Seth Pepper is mental performance coach. You'll find him at sethpepper.com, a mental coach to ATP world-ranked professional tennis players and coaches, NBA professionals and world championship team organizations, NFL football athletes, pro soccer players, PGA professional certified individuals, DI head coaches of top 20 nationally ranked programs and players in all sports. He approaches his clients from his personal experience. That's right, his personal experience. Two-time national champion, team captain, Pac-10 Conference Athlete of the Year, University of Arizona Athlete of the Year, two-time Hall of Fame inductee, 23-time All-American, school record holder in 7 events, Pan Pacific gold medalist, World University Games gold medalist, fastest relay butterfly split ever recorded, American record holder at World Championships, medalist at World Championships, professional athlete. This is Seth Pepper. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Wow, that was probably one of the longest introductions I've ever had. I appreciate all the details.
Well, if they're going to meet you, I want them to meet all of you. That is amazing. Your career, and now taking everything that you learned to become so good at what you do. And, you know, mental is everything. What is it, Seth Pepper? How much of your success was because of your mental state?
I would say everything. You know, I started my sport when I was, you know, in my teens, and so I was really old for my sport. Usually people start when they're 6 or 7, and so right from the very beginning I needed an advantage. And at the time my dad was studying the Power of the Mind in a book, and he handed it to me, and he said, take a look at these pages. And you know, there were just a few pages on, you know, what they were doing in East Germany, and it just intrigued me. It was, you know what, you could just train your mind, and then you could get performance from it. So from that point forward, I basically was all in. I invested everything into the power of the mind and started training my mind as much as I trained my body. And so I knew that I had a very short period or a short window of time to get performance. And so, yeah, the power of the mind is everything to me.
And then you helped your brother?
Yeah, my younger brother. He was interested in swimming, and he started when he was 17. And so basically did, you know, we worked together on the mental approach. And so it was really keeping it simple, using a lot of visualization, using a lot of just the principles that I coach now. And then he went on to become the national champion as well. So we're the first brothers in the sport of swimming to be national champions in the same event.
Wow.
And the similarity between the two of us is that we both relied almost solely on the power of the mind. So, yes.
When you talk about East German, when you talk about East German work, because, I mean, they were intense. Can you give us just a little bit of what influenced you most about that mental?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. In particular, they described, and this is, you know, before sports psychology was really even a major at the universities, so it was light years ahead of its time. But they had done a test study, and they had three different groups shooting baskets, you know, basketball. And one group was physical training only. The other group was mental and physical. And then the third group was mental only. And the physical group scored the lowest by far. The mixed group, both mental and physical, scored the highest. But what intrigued me was that these people that all they did was work, you know, do the work in their mind, they scored just slightly above the mixed group, the top group. And right away, I knew there was something to it. Like, that's all they did was work in their mind. And so, yeah, that started the curiosity, and then I just followed with it, and it just made perfect sense. And now it makes perfect sense to me and everything. Now, one part of the story that I think is interesting, because a lot, like as you said in the introduction, I coach from personal experience. So when I have an athlete that comes to me and they're looking for an answer, it's from, you know, I like to describe it as battlefield experience, because in elite performance, whether it's in sports or it's in business or even in art, you know, you have this intense pressure and you have to be able to manage that. And so, you know, when I started, this is again a little story from personal experience. When I started, I took and cut out my hero at the time. His name is Pablo Morales, and he had been featured in Sports Illustrated. And so I cut his picture out, and I put it up on my wall. And then I took my picture, and I put it up on the wall, and I put it so that he was reaching out to me. So for me, it was just a simple reminder of this is where I am, and this is where I want to go, and we're the same. We're coming together. And so you fast forward to when I won the national championship, and guess who handed me the trophy when I won the national championship? It was Pablo Morales. So you hear people tell these stories of vision boards coming true. That's a real-life vision board coming true. So the personal experience is very powerful because, the power of the mind and, you know, training the mental aspect is a subtle but, yes, very, very powerful aspect. So a lot of times people need to feel and trust that you've actually gotten results from it. So, yeah, it definitely builds a strong bridge between, you know, the person and, you know, the experience.
That obviously for golfers brought the image of Tiger Woods having Jack Nicklaus up on his wall, you know, in his bedroom.
Yeah, it's interesting because we do it as children naturally, you know, when we're growing up, you know, and we're daydreaming, we cut, you know, we get posters, we put them up on our wall. But then when we get a little older, you know, we get more into, you know, business or whatever we might be in. And then we forget to put and surround ourselves, you know, with reminders of what we want to have happen in our lives. And so, yeah, those are important keys, elements that I bring back into, you know, practice with the people that I work with, because, you know, it has to have a trigger for you, you know. So if you see your hero right up in front of you and that's what you want to accomplish and it's a daily reminder, your mind is naturally, you know, there's a reticular activation system, the RAS, so it's a filter system that everybody has in their brain. And so we filter out an experience. So you and I could be sitting across from each other having dinner, and we could be eating the same, let's say we're eating the same meal. You have one experience, I'm having another experience. You're in a positive mindset, and you think it's wonderful. This is my favorite place. This is my favorite meal. I'm in a negative mindset, and I see a fly that ends up, you know, that lands on just the, let's say, just the table. Automatically, I fixate on that fly, and I think, where are there other flies? You know, they must be back in the kitchen. This place is, you know, I'm having a very different experience from the same, you know, location. And so it's important that we have our focus set so that we are focused, and our filter is filtering out what we want to happen rather than what we don't want to happen.
Oh, God, that's perfect, because that's, see, right now, there are so many fears. There are kids that are afraid that they're not going to have enough to graduate. You know, there are kids that are afraid they're going to fall behind in school. There are kids that are afraid they're not going to be able to keep their stamina up and their sport up. They're not able to practice anymore. There are adults worried. I mean, everybody is fearful. And I'm asking you, and I'm sure athletes call you about this, the people you work with, what do we do about the fears that are bombarding us and taking over?
Well, it's a very good question. I think at this time, it's really an opportunity. You know, for me, I look at it in very positive light, because you have to, because you have that choice. Are you going to be in a positive mindset, or are you going to be in a negative mindset? If you're in a positive mindset, it's expansive. You're open. Your mind will see opportunities. You'll problem solve. If you start to, you know, contract and go into a fearful mindset, then all of a sudden there's no opportunity and everything's closing in on you. So you have to be in an expansive mindset. Now, to do that, it's very simple. You know, I'm saying it's simple. I'm not going to say it's easy. Okay, simple is that I have a saying, quantum leaps to, or wait, excuse me, let me start over. Baby steps to a quantum leap. And so what I mean by that, and John Wooden, the great, you know, basketball coach, calls them itty bitty, you know. It's just taking little things that you can actually control. And so when you can find things within your day that you can actually get done, two or three what I call fearless action items that aren't hinged upon anyone else's involvement, things that you can do. I can do this and this, and I'm going to do that. Now, you do that each day. It might seem small, but what you're going to get is you're going to get a build of momentum. And once you get a build of momentum, then it turns into the all what I call the 10X factor of confidence. And when you get confidence in your life, all of a sudden you start to see opportunity, you know, everywhere you're turning. I mean, I'm not going to say it's 100%, but you know what I mean. Like, you're in an expansive mindset. And so whether you're in sports or you're in business, you're just trying to get to a level of confidence. And right now is really tricky, because all of a sudden we don't have our normal routine. And so what do? Well, you have to find the things throughout your day, the little things that you can do. And so, you know, even if you were in a jail cell, you know, you could find things within, you know, with all of, you know, with no belongings whatsoever, you could find things that you could do each day and make a routine. And when you start to make the routine, you start to get momentum, and then you start to get confidence, and then you start to see possibility.
Perfect. Because, it's like people are cleaning their house. That becomes, mm-hmm. My house is really clean. Okay, now what do I need to do? I can organize my papers. Okay, I've organized my papers. Now I can get ahead of myself. Maybe I've always wanted to write a memoir. I can start writing. And then pretty soon you feel you're I'm ticking. I've got something going on for myself here. It's really, as you said, it's not easy. But what you said is taking baby steps and pulling yourself up and saying, you know, maybe I'm going to turn that TV off. I've heard enough about coronavirus, you know.
Yes.
Nothing new is going to happen in the next 12 hours other than the count. And I really don't want to hear the count anymore. And I know to put the face mask on, and I need to wash my hands, and I need to social distancing. And those things I can be in control of, right?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what you and I find, like, the smallest things, the subtlest things, are the most powerful. You know, so if you just, right now is a rare opportunity where you're forced into isolation, more or less. And so you either embrace it or you fight it. Now, if you embrace it, then all of a sudden you start to see, like, okay, these are times, like you said, that memoir. These are times that I can do things that I would have put on the back burner, that I would, maybe they were really important, but they weren't, you know, the most important. They weren't at the top of my filter. And so we want to get things that have, you know, maybe been on the back burner for a while, put them on the top and start getting to those, because now is the time. And so I look at this as like a once-in-a-lifetime experience that we're all going through, and we can actually make use of all those things that we wanted to do with our life, and now we can put in, and even if we can't actually physically go do it, we can start planning it. You know, we can start putting things into place. We can reach out. We all, you know, more or less, we all have the tools of whether it's a computer or it's a phone, and we have the internet. We have connectivity. We can do a ton of things, even in isolation.
Absolutely perfect. Seth Pepper, mental performance coach. SethPepper.com. Go there. You'll find out more. Can people, like, reach out to you right now via your website?
Yes. Yes, I offer. I'll talk to anyone for at least 15 minutes.
And we appreciate that, because I think you've inspired a lot of people. Thank you very much, Seth.
Thank you.
Aloha.
I appreciate the time.
You're welcome.
Aloha.
Seth Pepper is mental performance coach. You'll find him at SethPepper.com. My name is Danielle Tucker, and we got something for the kids to do. Something that would be fun, and you get out the crayons or the pencil, the color pencils, or you can paint it, you know, and then you post it. And it's all because of a group of people who are all about the American Society of Golf Course Architects. My name is Danielle Tucker. We'll be back right after this. Aloha.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
In response to the mayor's COVID-19 stay-at-home order that now includes golf courses, Bayview Golf Course is taking this time to make Bayview Golf Course even better. We're aerating the course, cleansing our new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready for your return to the beauty and splendor of Bayview Golf Course, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. You'll come back with Bayview Golf Course in even better condition. Until then, the best of health to you, your family, and friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're all in this together.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction. This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
I just want to remind you, too, that Oahu Extraction is COVID-19 ready. Okay, so they are suited up and ready to come in your house. You don't need to worry about that sort of thing. If you need help because of water or mold or any of that sort of thing that's happening in your home, they are ready for you. COVID-19 ready, and you know, if there's something happening in your walls, you want to take care of it right away, call Oahu Extraction, 330-6212. We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, and KTOH Kalaheo. All righty. I promised that we'd have something for the kids to do, and we're talking kids, you know, little ones to 17. Doesn't have to be, you know, little just crayons. We want imagination. Jan Bell Jen, president, American Society of Golf Course Architects, the second woman to be president after Alice Dye at the ASGCA. They've come up with this great plan to help kids with cabin fever, to help parents put the kids to do something other than playing games on their whatever mechanism they're playing games on. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jan.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. So you've created the Junior Golf Hole Design Challenge. Tell us about it.
Oh, yes. It's a real thrill to have worked with my colleagues who are also members, and the project was brought to our attention by a young aspiring golf course architect and who was talking with some of our members, and they said, oh, well, this is a great idea. Let's make it happen. So we created a web page for it, and what we're asking is for youngsters, there's three age brackets, under 8, between 9 and 13, and then 14 to 17-year-olds, and you can imagine there's a variety of capabilities of writing and putting things down graphically on paper by all those different age ranges. So it was just kind of fair to segment it that way. But what we would like is for parents to download the entry form, which is 8.5 by 11 sheet and has some text on there that lets you know that all we want is a first name in the hometown, what the age range is, and then we want to have whomever design a golf hole. Could be a par 3, par 4, par 5. It could look like anything. Water, no water, all bunkers. I was looking at the website today, and I saw that there's one young person who made an entire island par 3. So, including here's the bridge to get to the mainland. So it's fantastic. You know, there's no limit to the imagination. And if you look at these, even though some of them, you know, they're doing the best they can, they're excited. You can see the ideas. Here's the landing area. Here's bunkers everywhere. Here's a bunker strategically placed, trees. It's fantastic.
And this isn't a competition.
No, not a competition. This is a challenge. We would like to have youngsters who are interested in golf show us what they see on a golf hole. What excites them about a golf hole? Is it the intimidation of water, of bunkers, or other hazards? When I say other hazards, I mean I'm in South Florida, so we have alligators here, so that's a hazard.
I'd rather not have those hazards on my golf course.
No, but for the most part, they're just out there sunning themselves. Most of them are pretty well fed, so they're not. But if you bother them, they'll bother you, right?
Right. So it sounds like a lot of fun, and I've been looking. What you do is, this is the American Society of Golf Course Architects, President Jan Bell Jan, and we're talking about a challenge. It is the Junior Golf Hole Design Challenge, and there are three categories, under 8, 9 to 13, 14 to 17, and you design a golf course hole. You just draw the picture, however it is in your mind. And there, on their website, there is the form. It's like a PDF that you can download. The child puts a name and the hometown. That's all. And then you submit all of these things. How do we send them back to you?
Well, there is on the website, asgca.org, if you go to asgca.org, you'll see pretty quickly the Great Junior Golf Design Challenge. But you send the completed design to Junior Design 2020 at ASGCA.org. So that's Junior Design 2020 at ASGCA.org, and that means American Society of Golf Course Architects.
That's wonderful.
So,
and go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, some of these have already been made into Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, I'm not in charge of putting them on social media, but you can find them, the ones that have been submitted all at the website.
Yes, it's wonderful. You'll see all of the kids. There's information about how to do it, and then you see some of the submissions, and then just scroll down. The Instagram page is at ASGCA 1947. That's when you were founded, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So we're getting to be quite an elderly group, meaning
quite an old folks group, huh?
Well, Donald Ross was one of our founding members.
Okay.
And so for those of you anybody looks at the website and you see a lot of plaid jackets, that is a Donald Ross tartan. So we wear those in honor of one of our founding fathers, Donald Ross.
You wear that jacket well, Jen.
Well, thank you.
It looked very good on you. So you'll find ASGCA, American Society Golf Course Architects, on Instagram at ASGCA 1947, also on Twitter just at ASGCA, and they're also, of course, their Facebook page. And you got it. This is a wonderful, fun thing for kids to do, and I loved seeing what they came up with. And once you download that form, and all you have to do is go to this website. Okay, here's the website, ASGCA.org/GreatJuniorGolfChallenge2020. And then, bam, you'll be right at the place on the ASGCA.org page. It's Great Junior Golf Challenge 2020. It's fabulous, and it'll tell you where to send the submissions and where they want it, what kind of a format. You know, they've got the form for you to do. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's something that, you know, you can't help. No parents helping, but you can certainly encourage your kids to get out the creative energies that are locked inside them. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're very welcome. I appreciate it. And the only thing the parents get to do is download the form. They get to print it.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. They have to go out and get those colored pencils and crayons. So you get them
to
work.
Get them to work. Okay.
Thank you. Aloha.
Appreciate it. Aloha. Bye.
Jan Bell Jan is president of American Society of Golf Course Architects. And again, that website is ASGCA.org/GreatJuniorGolfChallenge2020, and you can get straight to it that way. My name is Danielle Tucker, and we're going to come back with my friend Diana DeLucia right after this. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Bayview. It's the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful golf courses in the world, I think. It is so affordable. It's Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf. Double-deck driving range with top tracer. Right now, they're just cleansing that top tracer, top deck, okay? Right now, they're aerating everything. They're making the golf course spectacular. Taking this downtime and doing this in stride, making Bayview you even better. So getting ready to reopen when the stay-at-home order is lifted, and you'll come back to a course in even better condition. And until then, Best of health to you and your family and friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're in this together.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Diana DeLucia, founder, editor-in-chief, publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine and coffee table book, Golf Kitchen. Her first was actually Golf Club World Behind the Gates, and that's when we met. Diana DeLucia is an award-winning food photographer. That's why when you follow her on Twitter and Facebook, you'll be like, wow, how did they make that? Who made that? I want to eat it right now. Welcome into the clubhouse, Diana.
Hello, how are you? And how is everybody?
And we're just, you know, getting, we're doing the best we can. We're doing good. We're staying positive. We're getting little things done around the house that have been taken care of, and we're generating energy. And you are one, you know, you make me feel so good when I find your, you know, you on Twitter, or you've added a picture of some delectable, whether, you know, something done in the kitchen that, or the pastry chef has made it. What was that chocolate thing you shared yesterday? My goodness, that looked good.
That was created by Kelly Mayer, the executive pastry chef at Wycliffe Golf and Country Club in Wellington, Florida. And that recipe will actually run in my next book, which is on hold at the moment for obvious reasons, but I'm excited to show Kelly's work because she's extremely talented, as you can see. And, you know, it's even hard when you see something like that to actually eat it because it's so beautiful that
yes.
Kind of you don't want to ruin it.
Yes. Where do I put my fork? Where do I start here? I don't want to ruin it. The cover story is Sean Christopher Lewis, executive chef at Liberty National. And Liberty National cost, I didn't realize, you know, it was a dump. Literally, it was a dump. Liberty National cost $250 million, the most expensive golf course in the country, by Robert Cupp and Tom Kite. There's a heliport, yacht services, spa, restaurant. I think the restaurant that you are, you know, that Sean Christopher Lewis is in charge of is probably something just for the members, and I'm not sure they'd call it the restaurant. The private dining room is more like it.
Yeah, it's a pretty special place, Liberty National. Mr. Fireman really, really, we actually write about that. You know, he knew what he was going to do with that land when he bought it. He really created something extremely special. And I've been there several times now. I work with them a lot and will continue to do so in the future. But, you know, it's such an honor to run this story. We're launching the digital version on Wednesday. So if anybody would love to read Sean Christopher Lewis's story at Liberty National, it's a fantastic story. He's a really talented chef and he's doing a lot for the industry. He does a lot of charity work. He does a lot of humane society work. He's got his own cocktail program going. And not only that, he's the assistant general manager as well as the executive chef. And, you know, for me, as a chef that I cover, he's one of the best. He's right up there.
Where would I find the digital version?
That will be on the Golf Kitchen website on hopefully Wednesday morning. I'm shooting for Tuesday, but most likely Wednesday.
Yes, everything is provisional, you know, right now, Diana. Don't worry. I mean, I was talking with Gary Williams earlier in the show. We were trying to figure out, you know, how are they going to put together, when everything settles back down again, a schedule. So there's all these schedules coming out for golf tournaments. And you really have to say that provisional dates are, because who knows, right? So everything is sort of like provisional. That's what we're using. That's the word.
I would agree with that. I mean, everything's up in the air. In my country right now, there's a 6 months of this they're predicting. So, and that's Australia. They're predicting that this inside thing could go on for as long as 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in China,
we have to all be making plans now for how we're going to re-enter the marketplace for when we do open, and hope for the best that it doesn't go for that long. But, you know,
yeah,
we're going to stay positive and keep going and do the best we can.
Do everything we can at home that we weren't able to do all this time because we didn't have time to do it. That's the beautiful part about this right now. I know it's hard to, it's beautiful. I don't have a job anymore, but if you can turn something around, I was just talking with Seth Pepper and he had some really beautiful ideas about just doing little baby steps to try to get some positive energy going. And it was awesome. Okay. So you also have from the Wycliffe Golf and Country Club, Executive Chef Christopher Park is also in your magazine coming out. When do you think the paper, because you make the most tactile, exquisite magazine ever. When I look at yours and then I pick up another magazine, it's like it doesn't give me everything I want. And yours does.
Well, as you know, it's a real challenging time for this issue because this particular issue is super special to me. Not that they all aren't, but this one is the biggest one I've ever done. And we've all put so much work and effort into it. It has more recipes than I've run in any other issue. It has some other stories that are meaningful to the Golf Kitchen brand as well as to chefs and clubs and purveyors. So I kind of want to wait until it gets over the curve in the U.S. to send it out. Because I don't want clubs to be closed. I want them to be, somebody's going to be at the club to take delivery. You know, I just don't want them sitting around and nobody's going to get them.
So in this coming magazine, maybe not everyone will be in the digital version. Is that correct?
Oh, no, the whole magazine will be in the digital version.
Oh, fantastic. It's not.
You'll be able to read the whole thing. It's just, you know, it's a keepsake, the print one, because, you know, the quality is, like, you know, superior.
It certainly is. So in the digital version, not only the cover story with Sean Christopher Lewis, executive chef at Liberty National, there's Christopher Park, executive chef at Wycliffe, Fernando Silva, artist and sommelier at Glen Arbor, Scott Pikey, executive chef at Mayakama, Blake Burgard, executive chef at the Tuxedo Club, Peter Zuhl, executive chef's underground dinner at Addison Reserve, rising star Dan Hess, banquet chef at Westchester Hills Golf Club. And I just got to ask you, can you tell us a little about the story that is meaningful to you and some of the chefs that you're going to have in this magazine?
Meaningful to me. Well, they're all meaningful.
No, I mean, you said there's some articles in there that are about, you know, what's important.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some, like I started doing rising stars, and I found this young chef, Dan Hess, and he's competed in the Culinary Olympics and things like that. And he's only 22, but he's also like an actor, a singer, and a dancer.
Wow.
And he's working his way up the private club, you know, culinary scene. So I just find that absolutely amazing. And, you know, I just hope this whole situation doesn't ruin everything for everyone. But one of the things that I don't think people realize, that when you create a magazine, and this probably goes for every magazine, you've done all the work, you've sent all your people out, you've done all the photography, you have everything, and it all comes together. And then something like this comes along, and you're sitting there with this piece of historical content, and you're trying to figure out, you know, how will this be received during this time? So that's one of the challenges. So, and I was in a magazine that, as you know, they did an interview with me in a magazine called The Cut in New Zealand. And, you know, they sent the magazine out. They haven't sent their print one out yet, but they sent the whole magazine out, and most of the content, there was a lot of content about the Masters, so it was really hard for them.
Because it was no longer accurate?
Yeah, you kind of feel like it's this still newsworthy now, and but at the same time, I think it's a positive decision on their part, and at least they've captured that moment in time in history before this kind of all came down.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What was the story about in the Masters story?
Oh, they were just talking about Tiger Woods and things like that. You know, I'm not a golfer.
Yes, you are. You're being taught.
You're making me laugh. You're making me bashful now. Shy.
Well, that's all a part of, you know, getting you out of your coronavirus funk. Okay, that's what we. It's important for all of us to get out of that space. We have to. We're inside our heads too much, as I like to say. You have to stop thinking and start. I don't know. How do you get out? You know, a lot of people use exercise. Are you able to walk? Are you able to get outside?
Oh, definitely. I go out every single day. I just go by my. I mean, I live by myself, so I go by myself.
Right.
But, you know, the weather's really warming up in Connecticut. I'm in Stamford, so it's bright sunshine. You know, I'm not really in a... I'm a very positive person, as you know, and I can see the finish line all the time.
Good.
So to me, it's just, okay, you need to get to the finish line, everybody, and you don't, you know, it's not that bad. You're at home, but there's plenty to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an unendated amount of things to do. So to say there's nothing to do, you know, that's just silly. So, I mean, I can think of a million things to do just sitting in your home.
Exactly. Exactly. And just...
And cooking. I mean, cooking. Chefs are cooking on TV right now, you know, on the internet. They're making great recipes. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, though, just to touch base on, is, you know, I've had a few... Quite a few chefs contact me just to have conversations. And one of the things I'm noticing is that it's really quite sad because, you know, they'll keep the chef, a lot of the clubs, that, you know, the really well-off clubs that, you know, I work with, they're fine. They can take care of their entire staff most of the time. And if they're not, they're paying their health insurance. But some of the clubs have to completely let go all of their staff, and it's heartbreaking for them. And that's one of the topics that, you know, is current right now. And I noticed that the, you know, the new government SBA care package just doesn't take care of the private clubs with the 501c7s. And, you know, that's going to be really damaging for the industry moving forward.
Yes. And those are the people we're talking to, you know, when we talk about trying to find something positive. Something to do, baby steps, and trying to generate energy so that you find that place. Each movement is another inspiration to go, okay, I did this, and now I'm doing that, and now I've done this, and look at, I've accomplished these things, and pretty soon you attract positive energy because you're creating positive energy. And I know it sounds, you know, like something you write in a book, And easy to say, hard to do. Well, yeah, it's not easy to do, but it's a simple process. I think that's what exactly how Seth put it. You know, you just have to decide what you're going to do, a little tiny things, and then build on those things. As you said, Diana, you can think of 1,000 things to do at home. A lot of people can't because they haven't been at home. They haven't, their whole routine is completely turned upside down. They've lost their job. They can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. They have no idea how they're going to pay their rent. They don't know if this government bailout thing is even going to apply to them. All these questions. And there's no one to call. You try to call them. No one's answering the phone because they're so busy trying to take care of millions of people who have found themselves in a position they never dreamed of being in 3 months ago. You know, we were woefully inadequately prepared for what could possibly happen because we were watching from a distance thinking it would never happen to us, which is natural. That's how human beings are. But we needed some stronger leadership, and you know, and now it's coming. So, I think our state governments across the United States are doing a really good job. I think it's really important for us to follow the really simple guidelines, and even that might not be enough in some cases. But we got to keep our heads up. That's all there is to it. We got to know that this is going to end, and we're all going to come through it together, and we're in this together. It's not like there's just one group of people suffering through it. It's all of us. I love your passion, you know, Diana, and the way you bring all the people to the fore. And finding Dan Hess, I was thinking of being on Dancing with the Stars and then presenting them with one of his creations. How marvelous that would be at some point in his career. And then to bring the judges. Okay, and then I, by the way, I just whipped this up while I was practicing for Dancing with the Stars. Anything else you'd like to add, Diana?
I'd just like to let all the chefs and culinary teams out there and the clubs that are listening, you know, if you can afford to, you know, keep your staff on during this time, even if they're not at work, you know, I can see so many issues coming where you're going to need those staff in a hurry, and I just think you should be doing your best to take care of them when they're not at work during this time. As you know, staff are really hard to come by. It's going to be really hard to get the European staff back in when this is all over, because they're going to have to wait for all the flights to be, you know, running on a schedule. Are they going to be able to get the European staff in? You're going to need your current staff that are in America, and I can't stress enough that you need to be taking care of them right now, because they need you, and they've been there for the membership for so long. And for me, as a person that's been highlighting the culinary teams, they need to take care of them as best they can, because the government is not going to be there to help.
Thank you very much for that. Diana DeLucia's founder and editor-in-chief and publisher of Golf Kitchen. GolfKitchen.com is where she's at. It's a lifestyle semi-annual magazine and coffee table book. So the book is in process. The magazine is going to be held until things are opening up again. But the digital version of her latest magazine, which beautiful, okay, with more menus, more recipes in it than in any magazine past. And these are great recipes. You can find it at golfkitchen.com, and it should be out. She's hoping for Tuesday, but expecting it to be Wednesday, given our provisional dates that we have dealing with everything that's going on in our world today. Thank you, Diana, for being on the show.
Thank you, and stay safe, everybody.
Right on. Stay safe, everybody is right. COVID-19 ready is what Oahu Extraction is. Now, I know a lot of people are worried about having people coming in, but if you've got a flood or something going on with your water pipes, it doesn't necessarily mean to be raining. You know what it's like. It's happened to me. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in the bathroom and I'm being dripped on. It's like, what in the world is happening? And I realize that's when you call Oahu Extraction right away, 24/7. 330-6212. Now, let's say it's been raining a lot. You didn't see anything obvious, nothing, but you're starting to smell something weird, and it's just not drying out. You figure the sun's been out, it's been getting warm, it's still, maybe that water just trickled in and it stayed, and it's causing some mold. Oahu Extraction, with their hydrometer, can see what's growing in the walls. So with them being COVID-19 ready, they can come and help you. Call Oahu Extraction, 330-6212. Aloha Power Equipment has what you need at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores. Get the Honda EU 2200 generator for $999, and get this, an extended warranty for only $50. What a deal that is. I mean, it's never been such a big deal. What a great deal. The best deal on the Honda EU 2200, plus everything you need to weed it, whack it, mow it, and blow it. It's all at Aloha Power Equipment. That's Aloha Power Equipment, your Honda generator superstore. Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, taking this downtime to make the course even better. Bayview is aerating the course, cleansing their new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready to reopen when the stay-at-home order is lifted, and you'll come back to a course in even better condition. So until then, yes, indeed, best of health to you and your family and your friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're in this together. And of course, a lot of people looking for masks, you know, the cloth masks, and leaving the ones that are for doctors and nurses and all the people who are taking care of us. So we need to use cloth masks. That's one thing. I hope next week to be able to have a list. I know the fabric stores are doing their best to keep up with demand. A lot of people are making them, some $5, some $10. And they're really very pretty. You know, it's going to be a fashion statement one day when this is over. People will still be using them just to make a fashion statement. If you'd like to hear the show again, featuring Gary Williams, as well as, of course, Elisa Godet and Seth Pepper and Jan Bell Jan and Diana DeLucia, go to radiogolfclub.com. That's radiogolfclub.com. It's podcast there or where you download yours. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.